Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Wow, now that's the sound of rock cracking. Once again, you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and you're listening to us in an exciting week that's very interesting in a way the Chinese say, may you live in interesting times, because Syria is a crisis that is swarming around. The world's eyes are on Syria. They're on the president of the United States. Who set a red line? Whose credibility's at stake? And what is Vladimir Putin doing? And what has his hand been in this whole situation? Well, if you want to know some answers that you won't hear anywhere else but Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, you better hang on to your seat, because we're going to talk about some things that have not heard across the press. You need to know what Doc Holliday tells you what's going on, the best we can tell right here. And that's why this week we are not going to do the healthcare show like I said last week. The crisis that has moved up into this world, and so we have got to push off the Obamacare show. And I'll go ahead and tell you the title of the show next week will be called The Jurassic Park Obamacare Train Wreck. And if you haven't seen the movie Jurassic Park, maybe you better go rent that movie or go back and see it again, because it parallels what's going on with Obamacare. And we're going to talk about that next week. So this week we're going to center on Syria. That's not the only thing. We do have a clip that we're going to talk about. I Have a Dream speech. We celebrated Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous speech that changed America and changed the world. We've got some statistics to talk about. Blacks in prison, whites in prison, some statistics you won't hear anywhere else. They're out there. Why don't we hear about them? Well, you're going to hear about them right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. They will surprise you. So we have that coming up. And we also are going to be talking about this Tombstone of the Week award will go to President Obama, because he said this quote last week, quote, my credibility isn't on the line. He says it's Congress's credibility. He says he didn't draw a red line. So we're going to talk about that on this week's Tombstone of the Week award. But first, I just got to tell you that we will start off this talking about Syria with the Representative Jeff Duncan from South Carolina, as he spoke with Secretary of State John Kerry. Before we get into that, some points about Syria you need to know, and why it's so important what's going on over there and what America does. Does President Obama have credibility? Has he ever had credibility? What is Vladimir Putin do? Go back to last week's show when I said the title of the show was Sadly, It's a Putin World. Vladimir Putin, the head person, dictator of Russia. He's not a dictator. He's been elected. But he's in there by crony friends, crony ways that keeps him in power. And why? Why is Syria so important to Vladimir Putin? Why is he waging a campaign to destroy the reputation of the United States of America? And why is Barack Obama playing right into his hand? I said last week that Vladimir Putin is playing Barack Obama like a piano on the world stage. And the detriment of that, what's so detrimental for our children and grandchildren, is the fact that right now Vladimir Putin is putting his game plan into action that will push America out of the Middle East, out of influence anywhere of the energy world, over toward the Middle East. And Vladimir Putin is putting his big energy footprint all over the Middle East, because he wants control of the economy. He's been threatened by what? By fracking. The United States discovery and new methods and technology to get more oil and natural gas out of the United States is threatening. The only way he can succeed is pushing energy and making Europe and other parts of the world energy dependent on Russia through gas and oil. And Mr. Putin, his whole economy thrives when oil goes up and when he can control the prices of what the world pays for its oil. And he wants more and more people controlled by Russia, more and more countries controlled by Russia, and the United States is threatening that, and that's why he is such a friend of Syria. Look at, there's pipelines going through Syria. There is connections in Syria. Assad is in power now only because of the backing of Vladimir Putin. And now what has happened with the Syrian crisis with President Obama? Why would you bring out nerve gas and chemical weapons and kill people? Why? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. There's an article written by someone that we're going to talk about, and I'll get to that later in the show. But I have to tell you that this Vladimir Putin, he may be running scared, and he's trying to put President Obama in the corner, and President Obama is getting in that corner, and it's the credibility of the United States is sinking low to people who look to power. And is Congress helping that out? Where do I stand? Well, we're talking about that today. But I have to tell you that Vladimir Putin, he called Secretary of State John Kerry a liar when he's talking to his Congress there in Russia. He called Secretary of State a liar when he said Secretary of State Kerry had told the American Congress that that backing the rebels they were mainly good guys, and that's what Vladimir Putin said that they had discussed and told America that these people are Al Qaeda. A lot of the rebels in Syria now are Al Qaeda fighters. He called John Kerry a liar. Where is the credibility of this administration? What's going on there? Well, that's what we got to talk about. And the best way I can start it out is we're going to play a clip from Representative Jeff Duncan from South Carolina as he was in the congressional hearings and had Secretary of State John Kerry there. And there were some frustrations on both sides. Let's get this thing revved up. Let's get a little music, and I'm going to go right into that, and we're going to play some clips. I'll jump in there and talk about what's going on as the clip's playing between Representative Jeff Duncan and Secretary of State John Kerry. Roll it.
You know, I can't discuss the possibility of U.S. involvement in Syria's civil war without also talking about Benghazi. The administration has a serious credibility issue with the American people due to the unanswered questions surrounding the terrorist attack in Benghazi almost a year ago. When you factor in the IRS targeting of conservative groups, the AP and James Rosen issues, Fast and Furious, and the NSA spying programs, bottom line is that there's a need for accountability and trust building from the administration. To paraphrase Friedrich Nietzsche, he said, "I'm not upset over you not telling me the truth. I'm upset because from now on, I can't believe you."
What difference at this point does it make?
The administration has a credibility issue. In my opinion, Secretaries Kerry and Hagel, Benghazi is germane to the discussions in Syria because, as you stated, Mr. Secretary, the world was and is watching for our response. But after almost a year of not bringing anyone to justice in Benghazi, they are watching our response. Mr. Kerry, your predecessor asked, "What difference does it make now?" Well, this is the difference, Mr. Secretary.
What difference at this point does it make?
These issues call into question the accountability of this administration. its commitment to the personnel on the ground, and the judgment that it uses when making these determinations. The American people deserve answers before we move forward talking about military involvement in Syria.
Now, this is where I wholeheartedly agree with Congressman Jeff Duncan from South Carolina. We have this whole credibility issue going back to what does it matter? Where does character really count? Here we are wanting to send missiles and troops. It's basically declaring war on Syria. And where is the credibility of this administration? And we got a president says he didn't draw a red line. And we're going to talk about that when it comes to Tombstone of the Week Award. But I'm having trouble, and I don't know where we are when you hear this, because every day things are happening. But I'm telling you, this congressman is asking questions that we need answers to. And what did the Secretary of State, now John Kerry, say? Well, we're going to keep listening to this conversation. Go ahead, Congressman, continue on.
Section 4 of your testimony today said this is about accountability. Sure it is. The American people deserve answers about Benghazi before we move forward with military involvement in Syria's civil war. This is the picture. You're not be able to see it from there. You might be able to see it on the screen, but this is the picture of Tyrone Woods given to me by his father, Charles Woods, a Navy SEAL. The Woods family deserve answers. He was killed in Benghazi. America deserves answers before we send another man or woman the caliber of Ty Woods into harm's way, especially in another country's civil war, especially when there's no clear indication that there's an imminent threat to the United States. I don't question that chemical weapons were used in Syria. I've looked at the classified briefings. I do ask that, if so, where are the other signatory countries of the Chemical Weapons Convention as the U.S. beats the drums of war against this regime in Syria?
Once again, I agree with Congressman Duncan right here. Now, I did not, of course, have privilege to the classified information that Congressman Duncan and everyone sitting in the U.S. Congress has, but I do agree that chemical weapons were used, and he seems to believe they were. But the question that I want to know, where are the other signatories, the countries that have signed the agreement not to use chemical weapons? Why is the United States going alone? Where is the international community? I'm talking about hundreds of them who signed against chemical warfare. Where are they now? Why can we not get people to stand up with us? Why are we going alone? This is exactly what President Obama, when he's a senator, railed against President Bush about. So continue on, Congressman. We're going to continue listening to what he had to say when he was talking to Secretary of State John Kerry in a congressional hearing.
I have spoken to hundreds of constituents. This represents about 300 emails that my office has gotten, and not a one member in my district in South Carolina, or the emails of people that have contacted my office say, go to Syria and fight this regime. Not go into Syria. Don't get involved in their civil war. I spoke to 8th graders, about 150 8th graders yesterday. They get it. They get it that we shouldn't be drug into someone else's civil war where there are no good guys. There are no good guys to get behind here, and I can only envision an escalation of this current conflict. The same administration that was seemingly so quick to involve the U.S. in Syria now was reluctant to use the same resources at its disposal to attempt to rescue the four brave Americans that fought for their lives in Benghazi. Mr. Kerry, you have never been one that has advocated for anything other than caution when involving U.S. forces in past conflicts. The same is true for the president and the vice president. Is the power of the executive branch so intoxicating that you would abandon past caution in favor for pulling the trigger on a military response so quickly? The reason that I say Benghazi is germane to our discussions on Syria is this. Secretary Kerry, have there been any efforts on the part of the United States, directly or indirectly, to provide weapons to the Syrian rebels, and that would also include facilitating the transfer of weapons from Libyan rebels to the Syrian rebels?
Have there been efforts to...
to put weapons in the hands of Syrian rebels and also transfer weapons from Libya to Syria?
Well, let me begin, Congressman, by challenging your proposition that I've never done anything except advocate caution because I volunteered to fight for my country, and that wasn't a cautious thing to do when I did it.
Mr.
So,
Secretary,
secondly,
all due respect,
when I was in the Senate,
yes,
I'm going to
no
finish,
question.
Congressman. I am going to finish When I was in the United States Senate, I supported military action in any number of occasions, including Grenada, Panama. I can run a list of them. And I am not going to sit here and be told by you that I don't have a sense of what the judgment is with respect to this. We're talking about people being killed by gas, and you want to go talk about Benghazi and Fast and Furious.
Absolutely want to talk about Benghazi, because four Americans lost their lives. I have sympathy for the people in Syria, and I do think there should be a worldwide response, but we should act cautiously
before we act unilaterally. We are acting cautiously. Yeah. We are acting so cautiously that the President of the United States was accused of not acting because he wanted to have sufficient evidence and he wanted to build the case properly.
It's been 15 days.
Let's Congressman,
we go now
Congressman,
to
Mr. Yield back, Mr. Chairman, point of privilege here. This is important. I think this is important. I think it is important whether or not we're going into Syria in a way that the congressman describes, which I think most people in America don't want us to do. We don't want to do that. That's why the president has said, no boots on the ground. This is not about getting into Syria's civil war. This is about enforcing the principle that people shouldn't be allowed to gas their citizens with impunity.
With all due respect, Secretary Kerry, this is where I want to jump in and say, it's not about, when Secretary Kerry says it's not about getting involved in the civil war, whenever you launch any kind of military strike, if it's against Assad, it's going to help the rebels. And who are you helping? Is it Al-Qaeda? Is it? Now, these are questions you got to know. If you go back, well, anybody's had chemistry knows about Heisenberg uncertainty principle. You cannot look at an object, an electron in that case, without causing it to move. And you cannot fire a missile into Damascus or somewhere in Syria without causing an effect in the civil war. So you're going to come down on one side or another. And the thing is, what has Assad said? Is he going to start a third world war? And what happened in World War One? These are questions that are so very important to know. And that leads us up to the next part. I wanted to play that clip from Representative Jeff Duncan of South Carolina as he spoke with Secretary of State John Kerry in the congressional hearings. But one of the important things that if you go back and listen to last week's show, then we talked about, sadly, it's a Putin world, as Vladimir Putin, the head of Russia. And I went over there. If you didn't listen to that last week, go back and listen to that show. But I have to tell you, there was a gentleman that put out an article about Putin. He said, did Putin set a trap in Syria for President Obama? And he laid out the principles of why in the world would nerve gas be used against their own citizens. Why would Assad do that? He wouldn't want the United States coming in, and when they got the upper hand, it looks like now, in the Civil War. So why? But he set up a whole list of reasons, and some we talked about last week, the way Putin has just been sticking Obama in the eye. And I said last week on last week's show that Vladimir Putin is playing Barack Obama like a piano. He has this guy jumping all around. The sad thing is, I believe that Vladimir Putin, he wants to be in power for many years. He's laying the groundwork to get the United States out of the Middle East, cause a power vacuum, and it goes right into what Barack Obama believes. Barack Obama does not believe America should be a superpower. We should be equal of nations, and we don't need more of a vote. And the more he gets us out of the Middle East, more he does not support allies like we had Mubarak in Egypt. Then he backed the Brotherhood. Now the military is mad, and we talked about in previous shows where many people in Egypt were mocking President Barack Obama. You don't see that in American press, but Barack Obama's being mocked, he's being watched, and his credibility is melting away. And the Syria crisis has forced his hand because Barack Obama said that there was a red line. And then later he said, I did not say there's a red line. The world said it's a red line. Well, I didn't hear that. But this is what Barack Obama's done in American politics over and over again. He'll do something. He'll say with his own words that he did not do that. He did not. Let me give you an example when he said, you know, in a health care debate, if you like your plan, you can keep it. And that is not true. He knew it. He had to know it when he said that. But he had to get the bill passed. He says what people want to hear, and he does what he wants to. And if anybody calls him on it, he just says, I did not say that. That's not what I meant. And but the thing is, people in the world are smarter. The Americans reelected this guy, but the people around the world are looking, and Putin's been watching him, and Putin is playing him like a piano. Why do I say that? Well, this gentleman goes on in his article that talking about setting a trap for Barack Obama. Putin is, he's claiming that Putin may even have sent the signal. He said somebody high up in command, he talked about the nerve gas. You can't just say, okay, here's the nerve gas, let's shoot it. It takes the mixing and timely mixing and putting everything together, and it's a group of people that have to get a high command. The gentleman in this article, and his name is David Samuels, and it's found in the tablet, and I'll put a link to the article. It's a fairly long article, but it goes right along with last week's show, and this came out this week, and it's what I'm saying. It's Putin's world. He can set the traps, and this author is saying that he thinks President Obama has fallen into a trap, and one of the things he mentions was among students of rougher techniques used by fascists, communists, and other old-fashioned political actors. He was talking about that the nerve gas attack in Damascus is what's known as a provocation. And he related it to, paralleled it to what Hitler did when the Nazis burnt down the Reichstag, you know, the Congress of Germany before Hitler took over. It was burnt down. Other things that happened would be like when Hitler's wanted to seize the power in Czechoslovakia, but he sent in special agents to attack the Germans there and make the German people that are in those countries demand that the Nazis come take over their country. And those are what you call provocations. And they've been used successfully by strong men throughout this history of civilization. And he's saying, could Putin been the one that ordered the nerve gas to set up Barack Obama to set up in a trap and show that he is incredibly weak? And if he won't stand by his red line, then surely he won't stand by keeping Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Now, that may be far-fetched to you. It'd be far-fetched to me to think that Putin would order people to be killed by nerve gas. But this is the guy that was a KGB agent. And he is playing for keeps and putting Russia into a position of power in this world. And the article goes on, and we've read about where Putin could become more democracy-oriented and their economy would be unleashed and become stronger. But as long as Putin wants to stay in power, and those who want power have to give up some economic gains. Hey, is that happening in the United States, by the way? The more power goes to government, the less economic gains we get. Well, I think that just says something. But I have to let you know that Putin, Vladimir Putin, may be setting a trap, and this is what he wants, to put Barack Obama on the world stage and to see if he's really a great leader or a great wimp. And that's what he wants people to say. You can trust me. My name is Vladimir Putin. You cannot trust the United States, who have Barack Obama for 3.5 more years. I'm your friend. They're your enemy. They won't stand by you. Look at me. I'm standing by Assad. We stand by our friends. That's what Putin wants to tell the world. And he wants Russia to grow its influence. And that's what's happening. It's why I said last week, sadly, it's Putin's world. Okay, we got a lot more to talk about in today's show. And I've got to tell you, you're listening to Rock Splitting Politics. My name's Doc Holliday, and I come to you each week. We got some new listeners. We appreciate you listening in. You're going to hear things here you won't hear anywhere else. In just a moment, I'm going to tell you something about the I Have a Dream speech that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke about, some things that have happened since that speech that you don't hear about, some statistics from the Family Research Organization. And now, before we do that, let me remind you, you can go to the front page, home page right there that you pull up when you listen to my show, and you can go to my website and order the book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and that will help you understand what's going on in this fight to save freedom in America. And tell your friends and neighbors about the show as we continue to grow. We appreciate it because we're growing by word of mouth, by you telling people about the links and setting things up and telling others. And that's why we're growing. And that's why we come each week with a new, fresh show with some ideas that you won't hear anywhere else, including this. Here we go. And then we'll go to this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. But let me just talk to you a little bit about some statistics that came from the Family Research Council, FRC.org, if you want to go there, and they got a lot of good research. But this was an article put together by Armstrong Williams, an African American, and he titled it "Why Some Blacks Lag Behind." And we have to look at some statistics. First, you know, we talk about the family. 85% of poor black children live in single mother households. And such children are four times likely to live in poverty as those with two parents. Four times more likely to live in poverty. We're looking at some of these statistics that 50 years since the I Have a Dream speech. Can blacks in America still dream? And why are they taking a bulk of our prison population? Let's see the numbers there. It says, since a majority of black youth are being raised by single mothers, they said, we have to study these mothers. And said, I've found that 68% of these mothers live below the poverty line. 68%. And 62% of these mothers have never been married, and almost half of them were also raised by single mothers. See, something called the vicious cycle that comes along. And is it possible that a horrible family structure could spill over to other areas of life, including employment and education? And he talks about, this is Armstrong Williams, he says, within the black community, there's been much talk about bringing change to every person of color. And while the methods to bring about the change are constantly debated, many black people, he said, including myself, agree that a change is needed. And that's why Barack Obama's put in office to initiate change. But these are some statistics you need to know. It says, crime. According to the United States Census Bureau, while blacks only make up 12% of the American population, they account for 44% of all prisoners, the majority of any race in prison. 12% of the population, 44% of all prisoners. And so it leads people to think, you know, this is not right. This, something's wrong when 44% of our prisoners are black. So what's wrong? Are we a racist nation? And that's where we have to see. And then here's the statistics. Out of the 10.4 million black adult males in the U.S. population, 10.4 million, nearly 1.5 million are in prisons and jails, with another 3.5 million more on probation or parole, or who have previously been on probation or parole. Black males make up nearly 75% of the total prison population. Those statistics are horrible. And you think, how is this 50 years after I Have a Dream speech? But this is some, here's the statistics that you need to hear. It's encouraging. It's at the same time, it's encouraging about racism in America, but it's discouraging about the direction of our country. Now, according to the Family Research Council's Pat Fagan, Dr. Pat Fagan, and I've met him. I've talked to him when I was in D.C. one time. Absolutely brilliant researcher. But he says on every outcome, the children who flourish most often are churchgoers with two parents. And those who fail most often are from a broken home and do not go to church. And this is, you know, you can talk about synagogue and mosque, but have a religious instruction. But furthermore, this is the quote that we need to hear 50 years after I have the dreams, Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. He says, furthermore, he notes, young black men with married parents go to jail at the same rate as white men with married parents. Did you hear that? Young black men with married parents go to jail at the exactly same rate as white men with married parents. There is no racial gap. There is no racism in the fact that there's more black men in jail and they got a lower percentage of the population. When you look at the statistics, it says, and get the other part, and young black men without married parents go to jail at the same rate as white men without married parents. So, folks, when have you ever heard statistics like that? Let me say it one more time. Young black men with married parents go to jail at the same rate as white men with married parents. And young black men without married parents go to jail at the same rate as white men without married parents. Wow. You know, it's, he says the reason for the education gap is not income, it's marriage and parents. And look, this happens with drugs and crime all over. Listen, America, wake up. It's, if you got kids and you got married parents, and you're going to have a lot more likelihood to have success in America. The I Have a Dream speech we need to direct to young people to understand. When you have a mama and daddy in a home, you're going to be much less likely to end up in jail. If you don't come with a mother and daddy home, it increases dramatically. And there's not a racial difference. When you put the parents into the scene, like I just said. So that's something you won't hear anywhere else. I've heard it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're glad you're listening, and it's time for this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. Let's first hear something from President Barack Obama.
We have been very clear to the Assad regime, but also to other players on the ground, that a red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized.
First of all, I didn't set a red line. I didn't set a red line. I didn't set a red line.
Does this president even believe what he says? Can he believe he can just talk his way out of saying what he didn't say or what he did say? He said there was a red line. He set a red line. And now he says, well, the world set the red line. He didn't set it. What is it, Mr. President? I think you are walking right in Vladimir Putin's trap. It's quicksand for your presidency. It's quicksand for the American, our American character. It's quicksand for our foreign policy. Quicksand for what America's going to stand for in the 21st century. And President Barack Obama, does he walk boldly? Does he walk cowardly? Does he want to just put his head in the sand, or like a child, just put the covers over his head and hopes the monster goes away? It's time, it's time, it's time that we have a president that has some kind of consistency. And should we go into Syria right now because of what the president said? If we go in just to make him look good, just to make his credibility stand up, that's not the reason to go firing missiles and cause people to die. It's not a reason to start a war. And what can happen? Of course, we know the possibilities out there. Syria says they'll attack Israel. Israel gets involved. Do we put troops on the ground to protect Israel? And if we said we shot the missiles in, there's so many things to sort out. And as you hear this show, I have to tell you that President Barack Obama gets this week's Tombstone of the Week Award from Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics because he's a wishy-washy leader. And if he sets a line, then he should have gone after it right after he set the line when it happened. And now he's going to Congress and you get 535 Secretary of States saying their own, going with their own vision of what should happen. And I'm not saying any of them are wrong. I'm just saying that President Barack Obama has lost his credibility, and everything from Snowden to the reset with Russia to the, you know, Putin sticking him in the eye, talking about gay athletes or anybody coming to Russia would be arrested if they openly practice homosexuality. And knowing that would upset Barack Obama. I think Putin is playing this guy and destroying his credibility so that he will be able to come in and take over influence in the crucial energy area of the world. And that will play right into his hands of controlling more and more energy, and America be less and less a player on the world stage. And that'll suit Putin fine. And I'm afraid, I hate to say it, I think that'll suit President Barack Obama just fine. But is that good for America? Is that good for democracy? Is that good for freedom? I think not. And that's this week's Tombstone of the Week Award and why President Barack Obama gets it. Boy, next week, we got a lot to tackle, because next week's show is entitled, I'll tell you the title already, I said it. It's called The Jurassic Park Obamacare Train Wreck. And those of if you've not seen the movie, run out and see Jurassic Park or read the book. And we're going to be talking about that next week and why I titled that. And so important coming up. You've got to listen to next week's show. And I'm sorry we didn't get on this week, but events around the world made this mandatory that we get this show on about the Syria crisis and talk about it. And you heard things here you won't hear anywhere else. You're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We appreciate you. Tell your friends and neighbors. See you next week.
What difference at this point does it make?
It makes a well of a difference, Hillary. A well of a difference.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.